Lord Jesus, in your word, you said that if we confess men, we confess you before men, you will confess us before the Father. And tonight, as Andrew and Sarah make that confession public of how you've touched them, I just pray you give them strength. Pray you'd bless them and cover them and lead them by the Holy Spirit to say the words you want them to speak. And so, God, we give you thanks. We dedicate this night to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus and want to welcome you. Definitely have a lot of friends here, relatives here in the front row. I welcome all of you. And the one thing that I do want to clarify is that aside from Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, we have no testimony. It's not of ourselves. And tonight we certainly don't want to do any finger-pointing, discriminating, or blaming a certain people, culture, or denomination for anything that has occurred in our life. But rather, we want to glorify God. And I guess I do have a problem tonight, Robert. I have a 5-minute version of our testimony, like what we shared at Leaders Alive, and then I have a 3-hour version. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. But I'll give the 5-minute version first, I guess. There's a song that basically describes our testimony in brief. And the words of that song is, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for that man called Jesus, then forever our soul would be lost. And so tonight we stand here, we really don't have any reputation to protect anymore. We've nothing to prove, nothing to lose. And I say that not proudly, but by the grace of God. To give a little bit of my side of the testimony is I grew up in an Amish home, obviously, and I grew up having a lot of fear. I remember coming home from school and just crying because I was so driven by perfectionism, OCD. I couldn't do my chores alone. I couldn't pray alone. I couldn't bathe alone. There were so many things I couldn't do alone because I was so afraid that I'd do something wrong and God would strike me down or he would send me to hell or something. And I recall hearing one Sunday evening that a neighbor down the road had died. And this guy lived in this little run-down, beaten-up trailer. And he was a drunk and he would swear and curse every other word. And when I found out he died, there was just something that hit me that, you know what, I think I'm going to die tonight too. If he died, I'm going to die too. And so I remember that night, most of the night, my bed was shaking. And I literally remember hearing the bed shaking and creaking. It had some old springs in the bottom. And it would shake and shake that night. And finally, I crawled down to my mom and dad's bedroom, into their bed, and I just lay between them, and I just shook and shook. And mom, she would do her best. She did everything she could. And you know, the thing that stopped the shaking was when she read the 23rd Psalm. And I still remember her quoting the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. Those two things would stop the shaking, and I would find some rest. But then it would return. It was awful. Anyway, I also had a fear of death. Yeah, I had a fear of death. I had a fear of losing my health. Fear. I remember coiling around on the floor with stomach ache at times and wishing to die. And it drove me into the natural health field, which is good in a way. I did learn a lot about the body, and I worked as a doctor of natural medicine for a number of years. But there's also a dark side to natural medicine, which was uncovered in Robert Lilly's office, and we repented of any of the witchcraft, the homeopathic type, the side of that. And as a teenager in early marriage, I was addicted to immorality, immoral thoughts, all kinds of stuff. I found significance in what I did. Again, I was an achiever. I was a perfectionist. I hated God and authority. I hated God and authority with a passion. And I'm not sure why. I know there were some incidents that happened earlier in my school years that I developed a deep hatred for any type of authority. And And you know, with that hatred came an unhealthy fear of God. I was so afraid of God, and I didn't know it. I remember one day in Robert's office, I came with a totally locked heart. We had done a number of sessions. I came with a totally locked heart, and I just had told myself that nothing that Robert's are going to say today or nothing that we pray is going to open this heart. I don't know why, I'm just locked up. And I think it was really the enemy doing that. Anyway, Robert did something that day that he's never done before. He got out his little, you know, that thing that you see pasted on the side of Robert's head a lot, that little phone thing that he has. Anyway, he opened that up and he Googled a song or YouTubed a song called Are You Afraid to Die? If you want to get ready to play that in the back there is a song by Ricky Skaggs called Are You Afraid to Die? And as I was listening to that song, all of a sudden it touched the core pain, the fear in my heart, and the floodgates opened, and I remember sobbing like I haven't sobbed in a long time, because all of a sudden I knew that God was not who I thought He was. He sent His Son Jesus. He died on the cross. He came to set captives free, open prison doors. And that's the message for all of you tonight. If there's anyone here tonight whose heart is locked with fear or bitterness or even the rage issue that I had, there was a spirit of rage that I got set free of. I remember the evening here at Griner when the men prayed for me. And I remember feeling that spirit of rage leave me. And you know, since that day, I can't remember that I had a rage attack. Well, wait a minute, I had one at my horse. But anyway, as the horse was going down the road, my wife was driving him, I said, Lord, I choose to forgive that horse. And you know what? I haven't had a rage attack since that day that I know of, but praise the Lord. But yeah, let this song speak to your heart as it did to me that day. It's called Are You Afraid to Die? It has a foreword by Billy Graham. Yeah.
I believe the time for everyone to be born and die is in God's hands. If it's my time to die, I'm prepared. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I was asked by a person today, are you absolutely sure that you're going to heaven? I said, I'm absolutely sure. Not because of anything I've done. I've sinned. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did on that cross and the fact that God raised Him from the dead. What about you? Is there a doubt in your heart if you died at this moment you'd go to heaven? Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Come while you can.
Just to go a little farther in our testimony, we had in 2009, we had a little boy called Kevin Josiah, and he was a tormented boy from the day that he was born. And he had this sleep disorder where he literally didn't sleep more than about 1, 2, maybe 3 hours a night for over a year. And I remember soon after he was born, he had these rage attacks that I didn't know what to do with him. He'd become stiff as a board, red as a beet, and he was just, you could see he was tormented or he was extremely angry, one or the other, and maybe both. And if you can imagine, I think Hitler could have done well with his tormenting, with his tactics, if he'd have added another one called sleep deprivation. Because if you can imagine only a set of young parents only getting a few hours of sleep a night for over a year, that does something to a human mind. I remember pacing the floor in that hot summer, those hot summer nights with Kevin. And I would get thoughts of knives, like cutting up Kevin or putting him on the stove, throwing him out the window. Things that I couldn't fathom that I was actually thinking. But I was so tired, and the enemy had such a grip on our minds and our lives. We were full of fear, full of condemnation. And we literally sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, as it speaks about in Matthew and Luke. and where it talks about Jesus came and he brought a great light for those who sat in the shadow of darkness and the fear of death. And Jesus, I believe, God, I think, allowed some very difficult circumstances in our marriage, and especially with Kevin there. I'll let Sarah share about Kevin's drowning, where he drowned, and I believe God brought him back. But God allowed some very difficult things in our lives to bring us to our knees, to bring us to the point of seeing that, you know what, living under a law, living in condemnation and fear and beating ourselves into conformity and performance is not the answer to life. There is no life in law. And as we heard today, that neither do we want to walk in a way that where we throw all law away and walk in grace only and say that grace covers anything I want to do, but rather we by grace we live above the law. If that makes sense to you. That there was a message shared by Brother John today that I believe would be worth your time to listen to online or get a DVD or something, because it was great. It was a balanced view of grace and law. But anyway, I remember coming home from where I worked across the road at noon to eat lunch. And there was my wife sitting on the armchair holding Kevin, and she was losing her mind, friends. She was literally losing her mind. Her sanity was going down the drain. Here I was, a young husband, standing beside my wife with my arm around her, tears running down my face, and just crying out to God, God, Lord God, there's got to be more in life. There's got to be an answer for this problem. And it seemed nobody had the answer. I threw every medicine I could think of at Kevin and at my wife to help him sleep and to preserve my wife's mind. Nothing was working. And all that time, I believe God was allowing things to bring us to our knees and to bring us to a point of recognizing that, you know what, we need a Savior. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it was in a very beautiful way that God brought us. And I don't mean to glorify any people, but you have some very anointed pastors and people in this church, by the way. And we did meet with Pastor Robert and Lily, and that was March of 2011 that we had our first session here in this office here. And that has been a journey. The Holy Spirit was in that room in some very real ways when we got delivered. And it was just beautiful. I remember one day that fear thing got broken, and then another time my rage at God and all of that got broken. I forgave God and later on received the baptism of the Holy Spirit alone in my home there. But it's just been a beautiful journey, and there's many verses that I could share, but I think I will perhaps even end it here on my side with this verse. I waited patiently for the Lord. This is in Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And I would just like to give an invitation tonight, not necessarily an altar call or anything like that, but just a reflection in your own hearts. If there's anyone here that is burdened in any way, shape, or form, I wish to tell you that Jesus came to set captives free. He's come to open prison doors, as it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now listen to this. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Friends, if your life is nothing but a heap of ashes, I've got some news for you tonight. He's come to give you beauty for that. He's come to give you the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. How many of us could identify with that spirit of heaviness? And especially when you live with it every day, when Jesus sets you free of that, you could literally leap up and down the streets of Shipshawan and praise him, because he's come to set captives free. And that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Anyway, I think what we'll do, we'll share a yodel that Sarah and I like to do together. It's called Jesus Set Me Free. And then, is it okay if I just let you share your testimony at this time? We used to sing this a lot before our conversion, and now the words mean a lot to us. We didn't realize what we were singing at one time.
My life was empty without a goal. Then I led Jesus into my soul. Now I'm so happy, seldom get low, since Jesus poured a yodel in my soul. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus set me free. Yodelay, oh, oh, yodelay, oh, dee, dee. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus set me free. Yodelay, oh, oh, yodelay, oh, dee. Hi, yodel, oh, 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 yodel, oh, dee. He helped me give up my sinful ways. Night and day I'm singing his praise. All is well in my heart, I know, since Jesus poured a yodel in my soul. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus set me free. Yodelay, oh, oh, yodelay, oh, dee, dee. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus set me free. Yodelay, oh, oh, yodelay, oh, dee. I yodel, oh, 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 yodel, oh, dee, dee, dee. Yodelay, oh, dee, dee, dee. Yodel, oh, dee, 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 oh.
Here's one that I don't think you've heard yet, Robert. It's called Making Melody. I don't know if you've heard it, but.
Making melody in my heart, making melody in my heart, making melody in my heart unto the King of Kings. Worship and adore him, worship and adore him. Making melody in my heart unto the King of Kings. I'm so happy since I got saved to praise the Lord all day long. Like Psalms 149, I'm gonna sing unto him a new song. Making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart unto the King of Kings. Worship and adore him, worship and adore him. Making melodies in my heart unto the King of Kings.
You can praise him
with the trumpet and the guitar. You can praise him with the harp. Let me make a joyful noise with the yodeling sound from the melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart unto the King of Kings. Worship and adore him, worship and adore him. Making melodies in my heart unto the King of Kings. Making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart unto the King of Kings. Worship and adore him, worship and adore him. Making melodies in my heart unto the King of Kings.
Okay, so I guess I'll share my side or my testimony. I like to share a Bible verse that stands out to me. It's, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by name. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Psalms 147, 3, 4, and 5. I just like how it brings out that our God is all-powerful and he's a big God and he can do anything. Because there was a time in my life that I didn't know where I was. Yeah, I'll just share my testimony. Growing up, in going to school, I started with an eating disorder. In elementary grades, I was really more on the anorexic side. I was never diagnosed, but I was I would barely eat food, and I hated to have food in my stomach, and I would exercise, and I would run a half mile before I would go to school, and after I came home, I would run again, and I just didn't want any food in my stomach. I was petrified that people would notice that I ate, and it would, affect my, I based that on having friends. Like, I have to look thin and all that so I can have friends, and I was driven by it. That was about 5 years, and then for about 7 or 8 years, it flipped, and I was more bulimic. There was issues in my life that it just, I started doing the opposite, and I started just eating, and I remember the first day that I did it, I thought, well, this isn't me. I think I can control it. I'll just stop tomorrow. But before I knew it, it had me in control. And I did it. I thought I had it in control, but it had me in control. And it changed my whole personality. People would say, what's wrong with Sarah? She's not the same anymore, and it ruined some friendships. I did not know who I was any longer. I tried to remember who I was back then when I was happy, and then I would try to be that person, and then that wasn't really right, so I tried to be this person, and around certain people I would be this one, and then this one with these, and I could not make decisions at all, and I would make promises to God. Okay, I will stop. I will stop, and I often wrote out promises, but I could not stop. I'll share a little bit how addicting it was. I did horrible stuff, like I would hide food in my bed. I would hide food in the clothes hamper. I would eat food out of a slop pail. I would do anything. My mind was racing the whole day. How can I get my next bite of food? How can I get food without anybody seeing me? And it was like this addiction. It just drove me and drove me. And I couldn't get free of it. And I don't think anybody knew how bad it was, because I would just say, like, well, I want to lose weight, you know. But I didn't want to tell anybody how bad it was. And they would just say, well, just forget about it. You know, don't think about it. And then, you know, you're okay. And so nobody really knew how that I couldn't get free of it. But that's just a little bit how it was for me in that addiction thing. And through going through a prayer, having somebody sit down with me and care, and we went through prayer, and God revealed to me of the bitterness that I had in my life about certain situations, about forgiving people and how freeing that was, and just allowing God to heal and letting His Holy Spirit come in and heal me totally. And after that happened, I was free. I no longer struggle with it, and God brought freedom there. After we married, he shared a little bit how it was with Kevin, and that was, horrible times to go through as well. Looking back, I know God was there. And it was about a year and a half ago that Kevin almost drowned, or I think he was drowned already. I found my little boy in the washing machine, and the agitator was still going around.
It was one of those Maytag wash machines. I don't know if you're familiar with those. A lot of Amish have those, the Maytag wash machines.
Yeah, anyway, it was just horrible to see my son just helplessly bobbing in there. And I was pregnant at the time. And I got him out, and I saw he's gone. He did not, when I got him out, he did not even gasp for air or anything. He was just gone. And so I took him out with me to call 911, and yeah, they got him, and yeah, God miraculously saved his life. He has no side effects, and except fear. He's had tremendous amount of fear since then that God is working on, and we're praying that God will deliver that.
Medically, they say that he should, number one, he should have been dead. But if not dead, then for sure brain dead, because of the fact that he was underwater for anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes. So we're just blessed. He had an overnight hospital stay. They never had to hook him up to IVs or inject him with anything. It was just incredible. And what's interesting, if I may interject this, there was a friend that came up to me one day, and he doesn't believe in anything of evil spirits and that type of thing, but it was kind of amazing. He walked up to me one day and he said, "You know, Andrew, there's something that I have to tell you about Kevin's incident." And he said, "I don't know why I'm saying this or why I'm led to tell you this, but there was somebody else in the room with Kevin when that happened." And I said, "Are you implying that my wife pushed him into the wash machine or what?" He said, "No, your wife was outside, but there was somebody else in the room that pushed your son Kevin into there." And I don't know what all happened, but it seems almost impossible how he got into that washing machine like that. And I do believe that the enemy had some legal rights of operation in our life. He had some footholds and strongholds in our life that allowed him to do what he did. But I praise the Lord that there was an angel there. Kevin implied to us that there was an angel there in the wash machine with him. And so we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did set us free of that, and we've closed doors spiritually that the enemy isn't allowed to do that again. But there was definitely some deep generational things that we had to renounce with that whole thing.
Yeah, I was just going to share, a week after that, it was exactly a week after that, I didn't know at the time that was who it was, but it was the Child Protection Agency, and I just thought it was somebody from the hospital coming to see how he's doing. But then after I left, I actually read the paper that he left, and yeah, it just struck me, you know, it was saying that I'm a person of child abuse, or like under the investigation of that. And yeah, that was, you know, they were just doing their job, I understand, but it was just hard to see it.
I remember that day she called me at work and she was crying and she said, "Andrew, this guy left a paper here that says that I'm a negligent mother and I've been abusing my child and allowed him to fall into the washing machine." And she was beside herself because it was saying that we're under investigation for child neglect and child abuse, which we realize they have a job to do. There are people who would maybe do that. I believe so. And so we've worked through that, forgiven them and all of that. But, yeah, that was kind of tough. yeah.
And then that same day I had my first checkup with my midwife, and was, you know, just a week after the accident. And then she couldn't find a heartbeat. And then I didn't know, was it, you know, maybe my baby died from all the stress. I didn't know. And so she said, "I have to take an ultrasound right away." But then they didn't find anything, like no baby, and it was just like a growth thing. And they believed it was a baby at a time, but it turned into a growth. And so when I came home, I was like, why is everything happening at one time? Mm-hmm. And I told God, the doctor better does not say the word cancer to me. But yeah, then we went to the doctor, and he said what it is, and it was a molar pregnancy, and he said it could possibly be cancer. And I was inside, I didn't say anything, but inside I was like, you just shut up, you know? I don't want to hear that. But yeah, we had a DNC, and it's so, as far as I know, it's okay, and it went really well, and everything's okay. So we're just trusting God for the health of my body, for any future children that He might give to us. And through all that, and with things lately how they were, this verse here, I just want to end it with this. It has stood out to me. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. So I praise God that for that, and that's what I want to believe in that.
There is so much more that we could share. I don't know how we're doing on time here. The Lord did lay on my heart a little bit yesterday to share a little bit about inviting people to the challenge of following Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit no matter what the cost. There's a lot we could say about the journey that we're in right now as far as Jesus. I'll just say this. Jesus said that if you follow me, you will be persecuted. and he did say that anyone who gives up everything for his sake will be rewarded in this life and in the life to come. And so, although we have many days when we wonder, are we simply deceived? Are we simply following our own prideful way? We do trust and believe through repentance and just falling on our face repeatedly before the Lord that we are following what He has called us to be in life. To be involved in the ministry of seeing captives get set free and opening of prison doors and simply the passion to see everyone come to freedom in Christ, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that there can be fresh revival. I really believe God is bringing the latter rain of revival into the world, the nation, this community, and this church. I believe we're just seeing the beginning of it. The Saturday night prayer that the men have here, Saturday nights, by the way, is a very blessed time to be here if you ever can make it, because we see, I just see repeatedly where God is doing a work. And as we intercede for the community, our special Amish people and this church as a whole, we just know with a certainty that God is going to do a work that is way beyond what man can do. So here's a song called, I'm not sure what the title is, but we call it "My Lord Was Crucified." It's an old Swiss tune, and one of our distant relatives, Matt Swartz, put the words to this song called "My Lord Was Crucified."
My Lord was crucified for me on a hill called Calvary. He bled and died so I could live and live eternally. He hurt so that we could be healed and that we'd be restored.
He sent His Holy Spirit here, with whom we have been sealed.
Rejoice, ye saints from everywhere, our God is on the throne. Let's lift Him up for all to see that He's the mighty one. Woo-dee-dee, ala-la-dee-dee, ala-dee-dee, 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 woo-dee-dee, ala-la-dee-dee, ala-dee-dee, ala-dee-dee,
With everything that we've been going through this last year, there's much that I want to but I don't want to point any fingers or discriminate anyone. But we've been through quite a bit as far as, I guess you could say, persecution, although it's not been a physical persecution. And many times Sarah and I would sit on the couch together and we would just weep before the Lord and wonder, you know, how are we going to get through this next mountain? Get over or through this next mountain that we've been faced with. And we don't know, Lord, are we right or wrong, but we just know that where we've been and where you've brought us out of, and that you've set our feet upon the solid rock, and this is where we really need to be, because otherwise we can't go back to where we were. That's a life of defeat. It's a life without purpose. It's a life of fear. It's a life of condemnation. Abuse, addictions, immorality, all of that stuff. And we know that Jesus set us free of that, and we claim that freedom and that victory, no matter what the cost. And there was a song that many times we would cry over. It's called Bigger Than Any Mountain. I don't know if you have that ready in the back or not, but it's by the Steve Stutzman family. I think you've heard him speak from Door of Hope and so forth. But it's just a beautiful song about bigger than any mountain, very basic words.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
My God is
bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my
Yeah, I want to just thank you all for coming tonight, and I want to just encourage you that no matter what you're faced with in life, God is bigger than that mountain. And I just want to share the burden on my heart, the passion that Sarah and I have developed for revival in our hearts, in our homes, in the community, and in the church. And the prerequisite for revival, I believe, is being all out for God, dying to self and anything of our reputation, being willing to give up anything, your job, your house, your money, give up everything, lay it all on the altar and say, God, I'm all out for you. And I believe when we do that, in true repentance, revival will come. There's no question. The rivers of living water will flow. And when you read through the book of Acts, yesterday morning I read through most of the book of Acts. And did you know that the same power that the apostles operated in back then, I believe we can have today. But if you notice, they had nothing to protect. They had nothing to lose. I believe a lot of them maybe only had the clothes on their back, like Jesus did. And yet the Holy Spirit flowed through them. I mean, the blind received their sight, the lame walked, the dead rose again. And I'm not saying that we're going to follow signs, but I really believe these will be the signs that follow those who believe, as the Bible says. And so I want to encourage you all. Jesus loves you, and he's come to set you free.